Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, April 11th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the UK and EU agree to delay Brexit.
The US and China inch closer to a trade agreement.
Fed officials signal their next move could be a rate hike or a cut.
And President Trump's pick of Herman Cain for the Fed comes under pressure.
London police arrest Julian Assange after Ecuador drops his asylum protection. Plus, another departure among top U.S. immigration officials. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Islanders opened the playoffs with an overtime win over Pittsburgh. The Nets won. The Knicks lost. The Mets won. The Yankees lost. The Masters begins today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global stocks are little change this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're up about 2 points now. Dow futures up 15. NASDAQ futures little change. The DAX in Germany up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.47%. Yield on the 2-year 2.32%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.8% or 51 cents to $64.10 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% on $5.50 at $13.08.40 an ounce. The euro had 1.1278 against the dollar and the yen at 111.10. Nathan.
Karen, we have a deal to delay Brexit. Theresa May and EU leaders do. They reached an agreement that could keep the UK in the bloc till October 31st.
I want us to leave the EU with a deal so it's an orderly exit as soon as possible. This decision enables us to do that.
The agreement to delay Brexit till Halloween was reached after 6 hours of talks in Brussels. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is there and has more on this latest development.
It was a long summit, heated at times, with some members of the EU pushing for a shorter delay. In the end, something in between, something for everyone. Now, the Prime Minister still thinks that she can get her deal done before the European elections. She believes she won't need all that extra time. But of course, that still very much remains to be seen. In the meantime, the EU sending a very clear warning. The extension doesn't mean renegotiation. And now it's up to London and the House of Commons to use this time to ratify that withdrawal agreement that would guarantee a smooth exit from the UK out of the EU. Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg News, Brussels.
Maria, thank you. A U.S.-China trade deal is getting closer. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says the two countries have agreed to open enforcement offices that would ensure both sides stick to terms of an agreement. Bloomberg's Greg Sullivan has more.
This was one of the biggest sticking points between the two countries, this idea of an enforcement mechanism in the trade deal. So on that front, this does signal clear progress towards getting a deal. On the other hand, there are still big issues remaining. Forced technology transfers, intellectual property. Details are still being hashed out by both sides. There's of course, the looming question of what happens to the tariffs already in place, and will President Trump meet with President Xi? So still some stuff to be worked out.
Drafts of the current trade agreement would give Beijing until 2025 to meet commitments outlined in the deal.
The latest developments on trade talks, though, didn't help lift stocks in Asia today. They slumped, led by declines in China. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The CSI 300 fell by 2.2%, while China's 10-year yield slipped after hitting the year's peak on Wednesday. Data showed inflation in China picked up to 2.3% in March year-on-year, mainly driven by food. Elsewhere, Japanese stocks were mixed, the Nikkei 225 edging slightly higher, the topics virtually unchanged. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sally, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Julia, thank you. Minutes from the Federal Reserve's latest meeting show the central bank's next move could be a rate hike or a rate cut. Still, former Fed Chair Janet Yellen doesn't see interest rates going lower anytime soon.
Maybe at some future point, you might decide it's appropriate to cut rates. I wouldn't see that myself as appropriate at this point.
And we get more insight into Fed policy this morning when Bloomberg's Tom Keene speaks with Fed Governor Lyle Brainard. Catch that conversation at 11:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Meanwhile, support for President Trump's pick of Herman Cain for the Fed appears to be waning. At least three Republican senators say they will not back Cain for the Federal Reserve Board. It puts his prospective nomination in danger. Senators Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, and Cory Gardner have come out against the pick. Opposition from a fourth Republican would sink a nomination.
And turning to corporate news now, sources tell Bloomberg some Commerce Bank labor representatives are seeking to end talks about a tie-up with rival Deutsche Bank. Several labor representatives are so strongly opposed to a deal that they want to shoot it down at all costs, fearing the loss of thousands of jobs.
And we're learning more about the sensors that failed on that Boeing MAX jet that crashed in Ethiopia last month. Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora reports.
A Bloomberg News review of public databases reveals potential hazards of relying on the sensors, which are vulnerable to damage. There are at least 140 instances since the early 90s of sensors being damaged by equipment on the ground or from hitting birds in flight. In at least 25 cases in the U.S., Canada, and Europe, the damage triggered cockpit alerts or emergencies. Now, in previous models of Boeing 737s, damaged sensors merely warned pilots. In the new MAX planes, sensors automatically forced the plane's nose down. Malfunctioning sensors have been cited in both October's Lion Air accident and last month's Ethiopian Airlines crash. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Patrice, thank you. As Amazon's Alexa smart speakers gain popularity, concerns about privacy are emerging. Bloomberg News has learned Amazon employs thousands of people to help improve the digital assistant and its Echo speakers, and that includes listening to voice recordings captured by devices. Bloomberg's Matt Day has more on the story.
People are saying billions of things to Alexa per month. The company says it's going to pick up just accidentally, if nothing else, a ton of stuff, and including some disturbing experiences, some funny experiences. Somebody called out a woman singing poorly in a shower as a recording that was passed around an office.
Amazon says it only annotates a small sample of voice recordings. It has strict technological and operational safeguards and a zero-tolerance policy for abusing its system. Employees do not have direct access to information to identify the person or account associated with specific recordings. And we should mention that Bloomberg Radio provides content for Amazon's Alexa service. Futures this morning, little change to higher. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and John Tucker's here with more of what's going on around the world. Lots happening this morning, John.
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Let's start with WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, arrested by London police this morning. The 47-year-old has been in the Ecuadorian embassy in London since 2012. London police say Assange was arrested moments after Ecuador's president said on Twitter that the country had withdrawn his diplomatic asylum. WikiLeaks and Assange became famous in 2010 when the organization published government secrets leaked by U.S. Army soldier Chelsea Manning. More recently, the website put itself at the center of the 2016 American presidential race by publishing hacked emails from Hillary Clinton's campaign. While he will initially face punishment for jumping bail in the U.K., Assange faces the possibility of a looming extradition request to the United States. The acting director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement quit Wednesday. It's the latest departure among top immigration officials. This as President Trump calls for tougher border control. Testifying on Capitol Hill, the Attorney General William Barr told lawmakers he believes there is cause to look into the possibility of improper surveillance of the Trump campaign. Barr saying the U.S. government spied.
I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal.
In response, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the Attorney General has gone off the rails. A fresh warning from North Korea coming just as South Korea's Moon Jae-in arrived in Washington to meet with President Trump. More from Bloomberg's Peter Pei in Seoul.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un lashed out at the sanctions imposed on his country, urging his ruling party members to deal a severe blow to what he called hostile foreign forces. Kim's defiant remarks came as South Korean President Moon Jae-in arrived in Washington to talk to President Donald Trump on restarting stalled nuclearization talks between the U.S. and North Korea. Much is at stake for Moon, who has been playing a middleman trying to broker a peace deal on the Korean Peninsula. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin declined to meet congressional Democrats. Their deadline on Wednesday to provide President Trump's tax returns. He's asking for more time to study the legality of their request.
The simmering political conflict may end up in the federal courts and spill over into the 2020 election. And Governor Jared Polis of Colorado has activated the National Guard in case troops are needed to rescue stranded motorists, as they did during last month's blizzard. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, it was opening night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Incredibly, the Islanders had not begun a playoff series on home ice since 1988 at the Coliseum. They never trailed the Penguins in Game 1, but Pittsburgh tied it with a minute and a half left. So they went to overtime.
Picked up by Barzal. Everly cutting for the net. Barzal holds. Backhand shot. He missed. And then Bailey scores! Islanders win. Josh Bailey at 4:39 of overtime.
4-3 the final. NBCSN the call. Three other one-goal games. Dallas won 3-2 at Nashville. St. Louis won 2-1 at Winnipeg. And Columbus down 3-0 stunned league-leading Tampa Bay 4-3. The Lightning had tied for the most wins in NHL history this season. Also, San Jose beat Vegas 5-2. NBA playoffs tip off Saturday. The Nets will be in Philadelphia. They beat the Heat at Barclays 113-94. Dwayne Wade's last NBA game. Detroit clinched the last playoff spot 115-89 over the Knicks, who finished 17-65, tied for their worst season ever. The Mets in the fifth inning scored 6 runs and only 2 hits. Twins pitchers issued 6 walks plus a hit batsman. Mets ended up winning 9-6. First win for Noah Syndergaard. Yankees got swept in Houston down 7-2. They rallied for 4 runs in the eighth inning. They were down 2 in the ninth. They had a tying run on. Luke Voit and Gleyber Torres struck out, and the Astros won 8-6. Jose Altuve hit 2 home runs. James Paxton, the Yanks' key offseason pickup, has not impressed so far. He's got a 6 ERA. With Odell Beckham now in Cleveland, the Giants need production from wideout Sterling Shepard. They've signed him a new 4-year contract. The Masters begins today. Live coverage starts 4:15 on Bloomberg 1130. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And speaking of the Masters, you know, it's long given the cold shoulder to commercial opportunities. It's just got a handshake media rights deal with CBS and just 3 corporate sponsors. But leaving potential millions on the table may have an upside. Nielsen says the Masters generates $211 million in media exposure. 39% of that goes back to Augusta National Golf Club. This is Daybreak. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Eisner Amper. The Qualified Opportunity Zone program provides significant tax benefits. To learn more, download a guide for real estate investors at EisnerAmper.com/QOFbook. The lackluster week for global markets dragging on, with European stocks and U.S. stock index futures drifting and central bankers warning of threats to the global economy. Treasuries edging down while the dollar is steady. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are showing a bit more strength, up 2.5 points. Dow futures up 23, NASDAQ futures up 3. The DAX in Germany's up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.47%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.33%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 61 cents to $64 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4%, down $5.10 to $13.08.80 an ounce. The euro at 1.1277 against the dollar. The yen at 111.13. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was arrested by London police this morning. The 47-year-old has been in the Ecuadorian embassy in London since 2012. The acting director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service quit Wednesday, the latest departure among top immigration officials. And Treasury Secretary Mnuchin has declined to meet congressional Democrats' Wednesday deadline to provide President Trump's tax returns. Day one of the Masters, live coverage of the golf tournament begins this afternoon, 4:15 Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Other sports, the Islanders beat the Penguins at overtime. The Bruins and Capitals open their playoff series tonight. Baseball, the Yankees get swept by the Astros. The A's and Nationals win. The Giants lose. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street. Now, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. I want to get more on the breaking news from London. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange arrested at the Ecuadorian embassy. Bloomberg News European legal editor Tony Ahrens joins us from our London bureau. Thanks for joining us on short notice, Tony. Fast-moving developments on your side of the pond. What do we know at this point about how the arrest of Julian Assange went down?
It went down fairly dramatically. About an hour ago, the president of Ecuador put out a tweet that said they were withdrawing his diplomatic immunity. Within minutes after that, the London police sent out a separate statement that said they had arrested him. So it was quite clearly coordinated and well planned out.
Why did this happen? I mean, he has been in the Ecuadorian embassy now for, what, 7 years?
7 years, and it goes back further than that.
Yeah, so why did this suddenly happen at this point?
Well, this all stems from a Swedish sexual abuse probe from 2010 that Julian Assange refused to submit to questioning for. He was arrested and saying that he thought it was all an American ruse, that he was going to be extradited to America. He then took asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy. And that's where he's been for the last 7 years. Things have deteriorated rapidly with his Ecuadorian hosts, and they finally had enough and threw him out this morning. Now, right, the big question is what is the U.S. going to do? Last year, there was an inadvertent filing in a separate case, totally unrelated case, where prosecutors hinted that Julian Assange might have been charged. So the big question now is, will the U.S. unseal an indictment today of Julian Assange and seek his extradition?
It's a little early in the morning in the U.S., but have we gotten any indications of where the federal government could be headed as far as that legal development?
That's something we'll probably find out around 9 o'clock your time.
Very good. We saw the Ecuadorian president announce this on Twitter. What led to the deterioration of relations between Assange and the Ecuadorian government, which, you know, has been hosting him here for so long?
Well, there was a change in government, Moreno, since things have been getting much worse since Lenin Moreno became president. But yesterday it was quite traumatic. So about a week ago, WikiLeaks said that he's could be thrown out within hours or days, was I think their statement. And then yesterday but they did not throw him out. There seemed to be some controversy and they did not throw him out immediately. But then yesterday, amid all this, Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, his lawyer, and WikiLeaks staff had a press conference where they accused Ecuador of spying on him, of filming every part, filming his legal meetings, his personal meetings, of everything he did at the embassy, and said then that WikiLeaks was blackmailed to get for funds over this to keep it from being released. And that was kind of a dramatic press conference yesterday. And within 24 hours, Ecuador just said, we've had enough. And he's now in custody in a London police station.
And, of course, because he has been avoiding a sexual assault accusation in Sweden, are we set up here for extradition proceedings for Assange? Now,
the Swedes dropped the extradition case 2 years ago, saying that the statute of limitations had made it impossible for them to prosecute him. He remained in the London embassy because he had jumped bail here, and you can't jump bail without being arrested.
So that is
technically what he was arrested for today, jumping bail on the Swedish extradition.
So where does this go from here as far as the legal proceedings in London? I imagine there's going to be a court appearance pretty soon.
There will be a court appearance within a few hours. And that's the big question. This is where we learn. If the U.S. is extradited, it wants to extradite him to face charges related to WikiLeaks releases over the years, there will be an extradition process in London that could take months, if not more than a year. But I imagine eventually he will be extradited to the U.S., but it'll take a while. If the U.S. does not seek to extradite him, if the U.S. does not have charges against him, it will probably be a fairly minor incident. He will be fined for the police costs over the years. It could run into millions of pounds. but he will be fined for that and likely have to spend 3 to 6 months in prison. But that's all that really happens when you're jumping bail. But if he's seeking to be extradited to the U.S., it'll be a much longer process.
And just in our last few seconds here, Tony, WikiLeaks' response to this, I've seen on their Twitter account, pretty fascinating what they say happened. As far as the arrest itself, they're saying that London police were essentially invited into the embassy as Assange was taken in.
Well, that makes sense because President Moreno, withdrew the diplomatic immunity. So the first thing that they would do is ask the police to come in and arrest him.
Bloomberg News European legal editor Tony Ahrens joining us from our London studio. Thank you for the debrief. Again, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange arrested after spending more than 7 years in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Looking at futures, they are starting to move a little bit higher now with S&P futures up 2 points, NASDAQ futures up 5. This is Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. If you're a family-owned or privately held company looking for tax savings and to grow your business, team up with the professionals at Burden. Visit burdenllp.com/radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Breaking news this morning, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has been arrested in London. We'll bring you that story in just a moment in world and national news.
First, though, the lackluster week for global markets continues with U.S. futures and European stocks. Little change to higher now after central bankers warned of threats to the global economy. Stocks in China fell more than 2%.
The European Union has agreed to give Britain until the end of October to avoid a chaotic Brexit. Prime Minister Theresa May spoke in Brussels after the deadline was extended.
The UK should have left the EU by now, and I sincerely regret the fact that I have not yet been able to persuade Parliament to approve a deal which would allow the UK to leave in a smooth and orderly way.
Now, Prime Minister May must sell the deal to skeptical members of Parliament.
While growth has slowed in Europe, it hasn't gotten worse. That's according to European Central Bank policymakers, who are said to agree that Eurozone economic growth has held up in line with their official forecast, despite recent weak data.
Here in the U.S., we get data on wholesale prices at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists say the producer price index probably rose 0.2% in March. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
February's PPI rose 0.1%, the first increase since October. The March headline will probably be dominated by rising energy costs. But Bloomberg Economics says the dollar should keep a lid on core inflationary pressures. Data issued Wednesday showed little change in core consumer prices. Also on today's calendar, jobless claims, which dropped the prior week to a half-century low. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. On the earnings front, shares of Bed Bath & Beyond are down about 10.5% in early trading. The retailer's comparable sales fell more than estimated.
Shares of French luxury goods maker LVMH are up 4%. First quarter sales of the parent of Louis Vuitton and Christian Dior beating estimates.
And Bloomberg News has learned some Commerzbank labor representatives are seeking to end talks about a tie-up with rival Deutsche Bank. They are said to be so strongly opposed to a deal, they want to shoot it down at all costs, fearing the loss of thousands of jobs.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 24, NASDAQ futures are up 5 now. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.47%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.33%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1% now, down 65 cents at $63.96 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and the news update is brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants. Now here's Bloomberg's John Tucker.
And Nathan, police in the UK have arrested WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Let's get the very latest from Bloomberg's Sander Kilhoff in London.
Assange was arrested moments after Ecuador withdrew his diplomatic asylum. Video showed Assange dragged out of the embassy and placed in a waiting police van. Assange had been in the Ecuadorian embassy since 2012 when he sought to escape questioning in a Swedish sexual assault case. While those charges were dropped, Assange remained in the small London apartment as he has continued to dodge UK police and American prosecutors. In London, I'm Sandra Kilhoff, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The acting director of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has quit. It's the latest departure among top immigration officials as President Donald Trump calls for tougher border control. The man who brought President Trump and North Korea's leader together, South Korea's Moon Jae-in, is aiming to get the talks back on track during a visit to the White House today. Details from Bloomberg's Bob Moon.
The South Korean leader has staked much of his presidency on his pledge to forge a lasting peace with the North. After his first meeting with Kim Jong-un last April, his approval rating soared to 83%. In the wake of the failed Hanoi summit, it's at a record low 41%. Trump hasn't ruled out returning to the bargaining table. In fact, he was still touting good relations with North Korea as recently as this past weekend.
Had a walk from the one deal. Was it going to be a right deal? But we have a great relationship. We'll see what happens. I hope we're going to be able to do something.
Kim has become increasingly belligerent, though, over sanctions, and the South Korean leader might press Trump on offering some relief. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Attorney General William Barr has gone off the rails with unproven accusations the FBI spied on Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign.
I'm very concerned about the statements made by Attorney General Barr. I think that they undermine our Constitution. They undermine the role of the Attorney General. He is not the Attorney General of Donald Trump. He is the Attorney General of the United States.
During Barr's second day of testimony on Capitol Hill, the AG said he believes there is cause to look into the possibility of improper surveillance of the Trump campaign. And blizzard warnings were posted from Colorado to Minnesota. And wildfires were a concern in New Mexico, Texas, and Oklahoma as the second so-called bomb cyclone storm in less than a month hits the central U.S., raising the prospect of renewed flooding in the already drenched Midwest. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, the Islanders back in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They missed in the last 2 years, been a surprisingly good season. Home ice advantage in a playoff series for the first time in 31 years, and the Isles opened up at the Coliseum with a 4-3 overtime win over Pittsburgh. Josh Bailey, the game-winning goal, 4:39 is sudden death. Dallas won 3-2 at Nashville. St. Louis won 2-1 at Winnipeg. Columbus won 4-3 at Tampa Bay. The heavily favored Lightning blew a 3-0 lead. San Jose beat Vegas 5-2. The NBA regular season has ended. So have the careers of both Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. Between them, 29 All-Star games. In Wade's last game, Miami lost in Brooklyn 113-94. The Nets will be in the first playoff game Saturday afternoon in Philadelphia. The Knicks lost at the Garden 115-89. Detroit clinching the last playoff spot. The Knicks went 17-65, tied for their worst season ever. Yankees, after a sweep in Baltimore, got swept in Houston. The Astros won 8-6. They beat New Yank James Paxton, who has not looked good so far. Mets beat the Twins 9-6, six runs in the fifth inning, as Minnesota pitchers consecutively issued six walks and a hit batsman. The Masters tees off today. Tiger Woods just after 11. He hasn't won a major since 2008.
After I won my 14th, I felt like I still had plenty more major championships I could win. Unfortunately, I just didn't do it. I put myself there with chances on the back nine on various Sundays and just haven't done it. Hopefully this year I'll put myself there again, and hopefully I'll get it done.
Tiger went 5 years without winning any tournament, broke through last September. Masters, the only major Rory McIlroy hasn't won. He's the favorite. He tees off at 11:15. Live coverage on Bloomberg 11:30 starting at 4:15. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
As astronomical images go, it was more than a little unnerving. A shimmering disk swirling at the center of a distant galaxy, arcing around a body so dense that its gravity sucks in all matter and energy that crosses its path, rending the fabric of space and time. A black hole, finally visible to human eyes. Black holes are cosmic enigmas. They're massive and immensely powerful, yet nearly impossible to directly observe. They sit at the center of almost every known galaxy, but astronomers don't know why. They're also freighted with cultural anxieties about the unforgiving universe humanity inhabits. You can throw television sets, diamond rings, or even your worst enemies into a black hole, Stephen Hawking once said, and all the black hole will remember is the total mass and the state of rotation. The breakthrough photo flashed around the world for many reasons: a scientific achievement, a statement about women in science, an affirmation of the general theory of relativity, and perhaps this, most of all, in a time of turmoil and triviality, we saw something transcendent, a glimpse into the clockwork of the universe. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street. With lawsuits building over health risks from the weed killer Roundup, the federal government's out with a draft report on health effects of its active ingredient, glyphosate. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry has been working on this report since 2015.
It did find a positive correlation between exposure to glyphosate and an increased risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Bloomberg Environment's Adam Allington says the findings are certain to be used in a sprawling multi-district lawsuit containing more than 1,600 cases.
The fact that this report comes out now is going to be highly significant in future trials, you can be sure.
The company that produces Roundup, Bayer, says if used correctly, Roundup is completely safe. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. Shares of Lyft are higher by 0.5% in early trading after a 10% plunge yesterday. For the week, they're down nearly 20% on reports rival Uber could file for an IPO as soon as today. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Lyft started trading in March amid lots of hype, largely due to being the only publicly listed ride-sharing company. However, the shares have dropped since then, and with Uber joining the fray, demand for Lyft stock is taking a hit. Uber's IPO is just the latest trouble for Lyft, which has endured an unenviable first few days as a public company, having attracted skepticism about its market share growth, revenue expansion, and optimistic valuation. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Charlie, S&P future contracts are edging higher. This is Daybreak. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are gaining some strength this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bailey Lipschultz. Bailey, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. As you said, futures are edging higher on a little bit of light volume this morning. The Dow's up about 24 points, S&P higher by 3, with the Nasdaq gaining 4 points. U.S. 10-year yield is at 2.47%. Shanghai fell 1.6% overnight, while European markets are trading higher, led by gains in France. Back in the U.S., on the economic front, at 8:30 a.m., PPI, food and energy data, and initial jobless claims. After the bell last night, Bed Bath & Beyond shares fell after in-store sales lagged expectations. Activist investors, including Legion Partners, reiterated calls for new company leadership. And Tesla shares are under pressure after the Nikkei reported the carmaker and Panasonic are suspending plans to expand their Gigafactory. In other news, U.S. Steel fell 3.7% after Bank of America was the second firm to cut shares to a sell equivalent this week. And LVMH shares jumped to a record in Paris after first quarter sales for the owner of Louis Vuitton topped expectations. Wrapping things up, Chipotle was downgraded to hold at Jefferies. Five Below was raised to overweight at JP Morgan. And Keurig Dr. Pepper was cut to underweight from equal weight at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bailey Lipschultz. Karen?
All right, Bailey, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Police in the UK have arrested WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Assange was arrested moments after Ecuador withdrew his diplomatic asylum. The National Enquirer, the tabloid that billionaire Jeff Bezos accused of extortion earlier this year, is on the block to be sold by parent company American Media. And Amazon.com has been employing thousands of people around the world to help improve the Alexa digital assistant. The team's been listening to voice recordings captured in owners' homes and offices. Bloomberg Sports, day one of the Masters, live coverage of the golf tournament begins this afternoon, 4:15 Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. The Islanders beat the Penguins in overtime. The Bruins and Capitals open their playoff series tonight, and the Yankees get swept by the Astros. The A's and Nationals win. The Giants lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the spring meetings of the IMF and World Bank getting underway today. The Senate Armed Services Committee holds a hearing today on the Pentagon's plans for a space force. And President Trump meets with South Korean President Moon Jae-in at the White House this afternoon in a bid to revive nuclear talks with North Korea. But breaking news out of London could have ripple effects in the U.S. Capitol. The arrest of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now. And Kate, we're continuing to watch headlines as they cross the Bloomberg terminal. Assange's lawyer says his client's arrest does include a request for U.S. extradition. This is going to have ripple effects in Washington very shortly.
Oh, absolutely. I think everyone in Washington waking up this morning is going to be watching this story all day very, very closely. Obviously, Julian Assange generally and WikiLeaks also have been in the center of much of the what has come out about the Robert Mueller probe, which we haven't seen the full extent of that yet. I think this is all happening against the backdrop of Congress waiting on Mueller, on the Justice Department, to submit a somewhat redacted copy, full copy of the 400-page Mueller report. And as we know, though, Roger Stone, who was a longtime Trump confidant, apparently had ties with WikiLeaks during the election. And so I think that people will be wanting to know more about that. And certainly I think that law enforcement officials in the U.S. want to talk to Julian Assange directly about that, I would imagine.
Yeah, and we had seen in court filings through all the permutations of the Mueller investigation, all the various charges that came out of it, that Assange was facing charges, though they are under seal. Where do you see this going from here? Could we see those charges unsealed today?
I mean, that's certainly a possibility. I think that things, now that we know that Assange has been taken into custody here in London, we know that things could move pretty quickly. And so I think that that will be a couple steps down the road. He would need to be extradited, obviously, to the U.S. first, I would imagine. But I think that that's something everybody's going to be watching very closely. And certainly if he gets sent to the U.S., that's going to be a major development and something that, you know, a lot of reporters will be staking out the airport waiting for him to arrive.
Yeah, I would imagine. So let's get into some of the background of the nexus of WikiLeaks to the Mueller investigation. This had to do with the hacking of DNC emails and, you know, a potential action by WikiLeaks as possibly, some would argue, a proxy for the Russian government.
Yeah. And so there's questions. There's several levels of questions. There's the question of, you know, what, if any, connection WikiLeaks had with the Russian government when they did hack and then released, beyond just hacking, they released, the hacked material related to the that was hacked from the Democratic National Committee and other Democratic officials during the 2016 campaign. And then there's a second level question of, you know, once that's determined, what, if any, knowledge folks directly linked to the Trump campaign had of those actions, and if there was a Russia link, whether or not the Trump campaign officials were knowledgeable of that link to Russia. And so those are questions that are still kind of outstanding, even though we know that, you know, Mueller has decided not to charge anyone with, you know, any additional crimes as part of his probe. Those are still some unanswered questions. We don't know what exactly Mueller discovered, and what potentially, you know, since Mueller hasn't had the chance to talk to Assange directly, what additional information Assange could provide. We do know that Roger Stone allegedly was in contact with WikiLeaks over the summer of 2016. And according to the indictment of Roger Stone, he conveyed that information, you know, to the president directly. And so I think that, you know, pretty much crystallizes the nexus and will be something that people are going to want to learn more about in the coming days.
And, of course, all this comes as we continue to be in this push-pull over disclosure of the Mueller report itself. It makes you wonder, you know, whether we could see even more revelations, regardless of how much may or may not be redacted, as Attorney General William Barr continues to pour through the report with his multicolored pen.
Absolutely. And so I think people are, you know, in Washington and, you know, across the globe are waiting, you know, pretty much with bated breath to see what kind of additional information. So far, it's been several weeks now. And so far, all we have is Barr's 4-page interpretation of Mueller's report. We haven't seen any of the actual report itself. And so I think that given that WikiLeaks and Assange were directly mentioned, particularly in the Roger Stone indictment, I think it would stand to reason that there could be some additional information about WikiLeaks' role, Russia's role, and Trump's knowledge of both of those things in the Mueller report that could come out separately. And that's obviously coming at a very, very interesting time, given that Assange is potentially on his way back to the U.S.
And coming at a time where we had confirmed yesterday at Capitol Hill hearings that Attorney General Barr is indeed mounting his own investigation into what he called spying occurring on the Trump campaign by the FBI.
Yeah, and I thought that was a very interesting word choice on Barr's part by calling it spying. I mean, one person's spying might be another person's investigation. I mean, the FBI is a law enforcement agency that's charged with investigating people, among other things. You know, they use wiretaps very regularly. They do surveillance. Those things aren't typically considered spying, but spying is a word that I think is pretty loaded and implies some kind of, you know, sort of adversarial foreign entity element. And so I think that it's interesting that he chose to use that word, because to me that word sounded like it maybe denoted some of what Trump has claimed in terms of the FBI's witch hunt and the terms in which Republicans have used to characterize the Mueller investigation or the FBI's investigation into the Trump campaign. And so I think that that perhaps shows, at least rhetorically, the perspective that Barr is coming from.
All right, we'll have to leave it there for now. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You can read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report, and here's Bob Moon.
A bipartisan group of senators has introduced legislation that would extend a lucrative tax credit for electric vehicles that could benefit companies like Tesla and General Motors. The chances of the Senate extending the electric vehicle tax credit, which President Donald Trump proposed rescinding in his most recent budget request, aren't great, but analysts say an EV credit expansion could still be a part of a bigger bargain. One analyst also noted that the sponsor list isn't exactly the Trump country white pages. The current $7,500 per vehicle incentive for consumers, credited with helping establish the nascent market for electric cars, faces down once a manufacturer sells 200,000 of the vehicles. The legislation by Michigan Democrat Debbie Stabenow would grant automakers a $7,000 tax credit for an additional 400,000 vehicles after they reach the 200,000 vehicle cap. It would also extend a credit for hydrogen fuel cell vehicles for 10 years. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And let's take a look at futures this morning. We've been seeing some strengthening throughout the morning here. S&P futures up about 4 points now. Dow futures up 34 and NASDAQ futures up about 6. The DAX in Germany also strengthening, up about 0.4%, while the CAC in Paris is up 0.8%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.47%. And the yield on the 2-year now at 2.33%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.